Thanks for tuning in once again to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry dedicated to proclaiming essential Christian doctrine. We have a phone line open for you, so dial 888-ASK-HANK and join us on the show. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. And now, from the headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Whenever you hear the music or the theme music for the Apocalypse Code, it should remind you that the Apocalypse Code is now available on MP3 disc as well as download. If you haven't received your discs or haven't downloaded the Apocalypse Code, do so today. You can do it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And do remember, all this month, our radio offer is Has God Spoken?, my brand new book, available right now only to our constituency. It is forged around memorable acronyms. And at the end of every section, I have memorable snapshots so that you can remember the information, use the information to make a difference. The first six chapters are forged around the acronym COPIES, as in manuscript copies. And so I deal with the C first, the copyist practices, in demonstrating that extant manuscript copies faithfully preserve the words of the autographs. We look at the copyists who, constrained by the command, do not add to it or take away from it, fulfilled their task with meticulous zeal. And then the O in copies, representing oral culture. In a predominantly oral culture, learning was virtually synonymous with memorization. And therefore, the sermons of Jesus, his sayings, are presented with repetition and rhyme and rhythm. And in like fashion, his disciples employed vibrant associations, vivid imagery, visual emotive stimuli. Why? Because they wanted their hearers not only to hear, but to remember. The P in copies reminds us of papyrus and parchment. The sheer volume of papyrus and parchment undergirding sacred scripture dwarfs that of any other book of classical history. In fact, in excess of 5,660 manuscripts of the New Testament have now been uncovered. The quality, the quantity of the parchment and papyrus assure us that the message and intent of the original autographs has been passed on to the present generation without compromise. And then the I in copies. It reminds you of the internal evidence. And if the internal evidence points to anything, it is to the reality that the gospel writers were inspired to faithfully narrate a core set of facts by which they had been radically transformed. While it's conceivable that they would have faced torture, vilification, and even cruel death for what they fervently believed to be true, it is inconceivable that they would have been willing to die for cleverly invented stories that they knew were lies. The E in copies, external evidence. Internal evidence is sufficient to establish the biblical manuscripts as authentic, reliable, and complementary. External evidence, however, provides remarkable corroborating attestation from early external evidence provided by credible historians. It's possible to piece together highlights of Christ and the New Testament wholly apart from the internal evidence itself. And finally, the S in copies, the science of textual criticism. Not only are the details and descriptions encountered in our journey through the biblical text buttressed by credible external evidences, but by way of a science known as textual criticism. And by that science, we can be absolutely certain that the biblical text authentically recapitulates the words of the original writers. The beauty from a biblical perspective is that the wealth of biblical manuscripts empowers textual critics to credibly sort out copyist errors so that the autograph can emerge intact. Again, that's just an example of what I do in the book. These are memorable snapshots. You can read them in a short period of time, remember the information so that you can use the information, and each section of the book is likewise an acronym that gives you the outline of the material that's covered in a memorable way. Again, the book, Has God Spoken, available for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute all this month, and for your gift of $100 or more, I'll send you a personalized copy to you, a family member or friend, or when you join the monthly support team. So please take advantage of that so that you can make a difference, be equipped, and provide for this ministry in the process. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you pick up the telephone and talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 CRI. People calling in from all over the place will go right to the phone callers. Again, your question answered on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. First up is Jennifer, listening on the web in Detroit, Michigan. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I am a member of the monthly support team, and I received a letter from you guys, I think it was June or July, I can't remember, but in the letter, I think you had mentioned, it was written that people have been taught that if you do not believe in God and you die, you will go to hell, that you will go to hell, and that this was incorrect, and I apologize, I don't remember exactly what you said, but I wanted to get some more clarification on that, because I have been taught that. So if you have further insights, I would like to know.
Yeah, Jennifer, here's what is going on from a biblical worldview. If you receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, which is to say, if you realize you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then you are His and He is yours, and you will spend an eternity with Him in a new heaven, a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. However, if you do not want a relationship with Jesus Christ in this life, He does not force that relationship on you in the life to come, which is what hell is. It is separation from the glory and the grace and the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our Creator and the Creator of all other things.
Okay.
That makes sense?
It does. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You got it, Jennifer. Thank you so much for your support and for giving us a call today. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Star. She's listening on Bot Radio, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hi, Star.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I just have a question about the afterlife of young children and babies, people who have not had the opportunity to take Christ as their Savior. And if they die or killed accidentally or in a car wreck or, you know, whatever situation that they're no longer on earth, what happens to their soul? And where in the Bible addresses what happens to these children or babies?
Yeah, what we typically do in this circumstance, Star, is we rely on the nature of God. So we always point back to the nature and the character of God. And what we know is that God created humanity so that we could have a relationship with Him for time and for eternity. So He's never looking for ways to keep us out. He has made a way by which we could be reconciled to Him. So based on His love and His grace, His mercy and His goodness, as well as some hints in the Scripture, such as the infant of David that died, who we presume is in heaven because David longed to be with his child that died. So the inference of Scripture is that infants will spend an eternity with God. And what happens is that they have a particular DNA or blueprint, and that blueprint will flourish to complete perfection in a new heaven and a new earth. So what they would have been in this life they will never attain. But what they will be in eternity, they will, in fact, attain. Their DNA will be immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, and they will be the perfect person that they would have been designed to be if sin had never entered the world.
Okay, so there is salvation for the innocent.
Yes, I think that the nature of God and what we can discern from Scripture points to that very reality.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. You answered my question.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. We'll go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Doug next. Douglas is listening on KCCV in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Douglas.
How are you? Thank you for taking my call. I really enjoy listening to your program. I learn a lot of biblical information. Thanks a lot, man. My question is, I've been studying Revelation a lot recently, and I want to get your opinion of the following scriptures. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. And then there's Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, and they both talk about the white horse. And from my interpretation, it appears that the white horse was written by Jesus Christ in 1911, and that the 1:6:2 is the Antichrist. And I want to get your insight on that.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I would say that it's indisputable that Christ rides the white horse in Revelation chapter 19. Commentators are decidedly divided as to what's going on in Revelation chapter 6. I mean, there are some who do think that this is a parody of Christ, and therefore it is more in line with Antichrist than Christ. But there are some significant points in favor of the white horse rider actually symbolizing Christ. For example, Christ rides the white horse, as we just discovered in Revelation chapter 19. The rider carries a bow. And in Habakkuk 3, which actually forms the background in part for Revelation chapter 6, the Lord or warrior king carries a bow. And there are some other parallels in places like Genesis. And then the rider is given a crown, as Christ has in Revelation 19. And the rider goes out to conquer, and of course Christ is the quintessential conqueror. So there are, I think, some very good points to commend the notion that this is Christ as opposed to Antichrist. But in fairness, let me give the opposite side of the spectrum, where people would say, well, I disagree with that point, and therefore I think that the rider is actually a satanic character or an Antichrist figure. The language in Revelation of conquering is used of the beast, oppressing the saints. So there's a way in which conqueror can be seen from that perspective as well. And in Zechariah 1 and 6, the horses are identified together as being the same nature. So you have this going on in tandem between Zechariah 1 and then what's going on in Revelation chapter 6. And then in Revelation 12 and 13, Satan is a deceiver who is most particularly used to parroting the work of Jesus Christ. So he can't do what Christ does, but he can parody what Christ does. So again, there are some points to favor the view that you expressed as well.
Well, that's what I got from it, was that the one mentioned in 6:2 seemed to be a parody. And what rang out to me was that in chapter 19, verse 11, it said that the rider of the white horse was faithful and true. And that's what seemed to ring clear to me.
Well, yeah, there's no question whatsoever what we're dealing with in Revelation chapter 19. But what I love about what you're doing is you're doing exactly the right thing. You're comparing Scripture with Scripture. And I think it's important as well to recognize that when you read Revelation, you have to have the background music of the Old Testament coursing through your mind. And that's why I mentioned some of the parallel passages in Zechariah, Habakkuk, and even Genesis.
Right.
Good talking to you, and Great thinking. I love that. Want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to, I guess we won't talk next to, we will after the break. We'll talk to Douglas in Kansas City, Missouri. He's asking about the autographs of New Testament manuscripts. We'll talk about that and more when we come back from the break, answering your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I have a lot of really interesting questions coming up. And again, a reminder, if you are not subscribing to the Christian Research Journal, I've written the cover story, and you'll find this magazine to be top flight in every way. It's won all kinds of awards for graphic design and content. You can subscribe on the World Wide Web in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. And as always, you can just pick up the telephone and call 888-7000-CRI to subscribe. We'll be right back again with your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. Hank Hanegraaff contends that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who is the Antichrist? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Nancy Piercy addresses how the flawed worldview of secularism fails to explain human life and experience, how the hookup culture falls short of its promised liberation, and why biblical morality is not arbitrary in her article, Sex, Lies, and Secularism. William Dembski's article, Old Earth Creationism and the Fall, answers how Adam's sin could be responsible for the natural evil, including animal suffering and death, that preceded the fall. Other topics include a summary critique of Sam Harris's The Moral Landscape, What the Walking Dead Can Teach Pro-Lifers, a review of the film The Tree of Life, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, and thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org. Spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is a magazine designed to ground Christians in their faith and sharpen their discernment skills. In the latest edition of the journal, William Dembski's article, Old Earth Creationism and the Fall, answers how Adam's sin could be responsible for the natural evil, including animal suffering and death, that existed prior to the fall. He proposes that just as the effects of salvation at the cross of Christ reach both forward in time, saving present-day Christians, and backward, saving Old Testament saints, so the effects of the fall reach forward and backward in time as well. To learn more, subscribe to the Christian Research Journal online at equip.org or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. Once again, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to the phone calls. Next up is Douglas. He's listening on KCCV, Kansas City, Missouri. I got a Doug confused with a Douglas before the break, but glad to have you on the broadcast, Douglas.
Thanks for taking my call, Hank.
Pleasure.
I plan on getting your book that you were just talking about, and just something that I was thinking about. Where are the actual manuscripts kept at?
Well, they're the actual manuscripts you're talking about, not the autographa, but the copies,
or the you call it the autographa.
Yeah, the autographa are the originals or the autographs. So when you talk about the autographa, it means the original writings themselves. So it would be the actual letter written by John, or the actual letter written by Peter or by Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're asking about?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and that's a great question, and it is something that I deal with in the book. One thing that we know about the manuscripts is that while we have lots of them and we don't have the autograph is actually embedded in the manuscripts, and that was done by the grace and wisdom of God. Because through doing it that way, the text was protected from the one thing that we would never detect, and that is wholesale change of doctrine by a group of people who had full control over the text at any point in history. But because the New Testament books were written at various times and were quickly copied, as soon as they were written, there was never a time where an ecclesiastical authority had control of the Bible. No one could gather up the texts and try to make them say exactly the same thing. No one could harmonize the text. So we have absolute assurance that it certainly didn't happen, because by the time anyone obtained this kind of power in the name of Christ, texts were already long buried in the sands of time, and there was no one that could then alter them. And so they've now come to light, and because they've come to light, we have the situation where, through the tenacity of the text, the autograph actually emerges. And what's wonderful about this way of doing it again is that no one could have tampered with the text in any way. So we can be absolutely certain that what we have represents authentically the autographs. Again, I've written about this under manuscript copies in my new book, Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. That's just one of the sections. It is available for your gift. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Let's go next to Kevin. He's listening in Kansas City. Hi, Kevin. I guess...
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Here's my question. It has to do with sexual relations within marriage. I've heard some people teach that there's only one sexual act that is allowable in the sight of God and within the wedding bed. And my question is, obviously I know that God condemns, you know, sodomy and things of that nature. And I hope this isn't, I'm being vague, but oral sex between a married couple, my question is that acceptable or not? And I'll hang up and I'll let you respond to the topic.
Yeah, well, this is a very graphic kind of thing to talk about it, so I'm going to talk about it in somewhat general terms as well. But here's the general principle. First of all, the Bible doesn't specifically answer that question. There are parameters that are given to us, and certainly all sexual relationships have to happen within those parameters. God sets those parameters around sexual relationships so that our joy might be complete. But the ultimate principle that governs this within the context of a marriage is mutual consent, and that mutual consent has to manifest itself in mutual respect, which is to say that if one of the two in the marriage relationship is uncomfortable with a particular activity, the other person should not try to press that on their marriage partner. Again, the principle is mutual consent and mutual respect, and recognizing in the process that sex is one of the greatest gifts that God has given to humankind, albeit a gift that has to be used within the bonds of marriage. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Jean. She's listening on Sirius XM 131 in Reading, Connecticut. Hi, Jean.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a fairly new Christian, and I was listening to your program yesterday, and you were talking about when our bodies are resurrected, when Jesus comes back the second time. Is there anything in the Bible that talks about what age we're going to be? Is it the age that we were in the grave, or will there be some babies and adults? Is there any information on that?
Well, yeah, we don't know what age we're going to be. Let me put it that way first, and then add to that that we will be what we were intended to be. And I think if you look at the analogy of a rose, it might be helpful. There's a time when a rose comes into full bloom, and it is at the height of its development. And then after that, it begins to devolve. Well, in heaven, we will be like that rose in full bloom. So I think we can assume, and this is a theological deduction, that we will be fully developed as we would be. In other words, our DNA fully developed as we would have been had sin never entered the world. So we'll be at the flower, to use the metaphor, the flower of our youth. And again, that's a theological deduction. So I think we can safely say that there aren't going to be babies in heaven and old men in heaven and everything in between, but that we will be at the flower of our youth for all eternity as we learn and grow and develop without error, and as forever we explore the glory and grandeur of the one who created us by his grace.
Pretty beautiful. but, you know, and then of course, I think, you know, how would we recognize each other? But I guess that's...
Well, we recognize each other in a number of different ways. I mean, you don't only recognize someone by physical appearance. If you're married, you know that. You can recognize someone's voice. There's a sensing of one another, a knowing of one another that transcends the physical. But we will know one another. I mean, the one thing we know is we're not going to have less information in heaven. We're going to have more information in heaven.
Wow, thank you so much. That's really that's a beautiful way to think about this. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You got it. And I wrote about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, where I talk about the fact that God created Adam and Eve in Eden in the prime of life. Additionally, Jesus died and was resurrected at the prime of his physical development. So I think we're justified in believing that whether we die in infancy or in our prime or in old age, we will be resurrected physically mature and perfect as God originally intended it to be. And then, again, I always use the analogy of DNA, which is programmed in such a way that at a particular point, we reach optimal development from a functional perspective. And for the most part, it appears that we reach this stage somewhere in our 20s or 30s. And prior to this stage, The development of our bodies exceeds the devolution of our bodies. From that point on, of course, the rate of breakdown exceeds the rate of buildup. I can attest to that, which eventually leads to physical death. And all of that simply to say that the blueprint for our glorified bodies is in the DNA. And if that's true, it would stand to reason that our bodies will be resurrected at the optimal stage of development determined by our DNA. But one thing is sure, in heaven there'll be no deformities. The body that is tarnished by humanity's fall into a life of constant sin terminated by death will be utterly transformed. You'll be the perfect you, and I'll be the perfect me. Indeed, in heaven, as Revelation chapter 21 says, there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And I love what Isaiah says. Remember in Isaiah chapter 35, Isaiah talks about the time in which the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. You have an idealized metaphor of what it will be, what we can look forward to in the new heaven and new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Gary. He's listening on KTRW in Washington. Hi, Gary.
Cut to the chase here. I know you're busy. In short, I grew up in the more Pentecostal Baptist churches, and I was baptized at about 16, 17 years of age in a Baptist church. I've retired. I've moved. I live in a pretty much Dutch Reformed town where there are Reformed churches, and had a Reformed pastor tell me that the Baptists don't baptize right, and that an infant has to be baptized so that it is sealed into the Abrahamic covenant. I tried to find that in the Bible. Can you help me find where infants are baptized and where they're baptized into the covenant of Abraham?
Well, I think what you have here is a theological deduction. And this is one of those points that people debate vigorously without dividing over. Roman Catholics, Reformed, Lutherans, Anglicans, Episcopalians, Eastern Orthodox, and so forth, they baptize infants as well as adult converts. And my father, who was a pastor before he died in the Christian Reformed Church, baptized infants as well. I, on the other hand, believe baptism should be reserved for those who are old enough to have a cognitive understanding of salvation, a conscious commitment to Jesus Christ, and a knowledge of the significance of baptism. But neither I nor my father doubted the salvation of the other. So it was something we debated vigorously as opposed to dividing over. Having said that, I would be remiss if I did not point out how deeply divided scholars really are on that issue. You have scholars like R.C. Sproul, a wonderful theologian who's been used by God in a marvelous way to take complex matters and make them plain. In our time, believes in infant baptism. You have other great men of God that were used in a very significant way. Charles Haddon Spurgeon comes to mind. He was very strongly on the other side of the debate and felt very, very strongly about this as well. So again, this is one of those issues that Christians can debate vigorously without ultimately dividing over. There are so many people calling in. As you call in, keep in mind that I'm going to stay today for an extra hour once we go off the air. And we'll continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if you don't get in the next segment, I'll try to slip you in within the hour that follows. So for the next segment, the next hour, you can call 888 to ask Hank. I'll continue to answer your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Get connected with the Christian Research Institute. Just go to equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab and sign up for our weekly e-newsletter. When you receive our e-newsletter, you'll be informed of special discounts, well-researched articles, videos, featured resources, and everything you need to keep you up to date with all that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. So get connected today. Again, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab.
The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a moment.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos. Listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer. Or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken?, Hank counters the contentions of Bible critics and shows that belief in the Holy Scripture does not stem from wishful thinking. Rather, belief logically flows from an honest examination of the evidence. Order Has God Spoken? For your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And after 3 years of meticulous hard work to develop Has God Spoken?, I believe either the reader struggles or the writer struggles, and I wanted the struggle to be all mine. It's surreal to sit in the studio and look right down at a copy of the finished product. Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, now available to our constituency for your gift. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Call me at 888-7000-CRI. Or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let's go back to the phone lines. I want to talk to Marion next. She's listening in Memphis, Tennessee, and WCRV. Hi, Marion.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Great. I was curious, if God created only Adam and Eve, where did all the other people come from? Is everyone a descendant of Adam and Eve and all the races and cultures and everything?
Yes, absolutely. They didn't all draw from the same genetic pool in the end, because the people were divided. For example, we see a great division that takes place at the Tower of Babel. But the point ultimately is what Paul points out in the Bible, in the book of Acts. He says, from one man God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live. And he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us.
Okay, from one man God created a nation of men.
No, he said, I was simply quoting what Paul says in the Areopagus. You find this in Acts 17. And what he says is, from one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth.
Okay, but did Adam and Eve have the children, and those children had children together?
Yes. Remember, genetic imperfections only accumulated gradually over time, and therefore laws against incest did not come into existence until a long time after the creation of Adam and Eve.
Okay. That helps me, because I couldn't understand that because of the incest being in my mind that, you know, that's wrong now, but what about way back then? But since it didn't come in until later in time, I understand.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jason, listening at WTRU in Graham, North Carolina. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Hank. Thanks. Real quick before I ask my question, I just wanted to say thank you for all the great resources. I've got the Bible Code, and I'm pouring through it. I'm a supporting member, and I get the Christian Research Journal, and I've ordered Has God Spoken, and I feel like I'm getting an Ivy League education from you guys on apologetics. And it's just more than, it feels silly that I'm supporting you when I'm buying these products. It's great.
Bless you, my friend. Thank you for the encouragement.
Really, it takes me forever just to get to the Christian Research Journal, because it is just so well researched, and it's just, it's unbelievable. So it's not like a magazine. It's not hardly even like a journal. It's like, you know, it's like a 100 term papers rolled up into one. It's really great.
And isn't it beautiful?
It's great. It's really, really great. So, I mean, and I'm not related to you, for all your listeners who don't know. I'm just a regular person. I wanted to start trying to do something a little bit more impactful. And from listening to your radio station about a year ago, I've tried to start my own little apologetics ministry, because I just feel like that's what I'm called to do, and I could not
great.
Do it without all the support from equip.org and all of your products. But real quick, I wanted to ask you a curious question. I have to tell you about my daughter.
Oh, no problem. Sounds like you're at my house.
Yeah, I keep my two daughters in the afternoon until my wife gets home. But my question is, Jesus' ascension. He said that the coming on the clouds reference and the temple being destroyed, he said you'll know that when he ascends to the right hand of the Father, that judgment would come. And it seems to me, from some of the dating, I don't know if I'm reading too much into it, that it's almost like 49 years after, or close to it, after he ascended, that the temple actually was destroyed. I was curious about the difference in time between when we see him ascend and the temple being destroyed.
Yeah.
Is there any significance to it?
Yeah, there's a lot of significance to it. And remember, of course, Jesus in Matthew 24 actually predicted that it would be a generation. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have been fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And that generation, 40 years, is symbolically important in Scripture. Most often is associated with affliction and punishment. For example, the flood of judgment in Genesis lasts 40 days. The Exodus generation wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Jonah prophesied that judgment would come on Nineveh in 40 days. So the number 40 itself is symbolically significant. But it is ultimately emblematic of the fact that God does not want anybody to perish, but rather to come to a true valuation of things. And so he gives us time to repent, so that we might be restored. And many of those, no doubt, that cried, crucify him, crucify him, his blood be on us and our children, were those who at one time in that period between his resurrection and ascension and the time that Jerusalem was destroyed, they were people who came to a true valuation of things. They embraced Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and were used as witnesses or testimonies to his resurrection.
Great. I appreciate that. I just wanted to I was curious about the gap, and I tend to deal with some pretty hardline skeptics in my dealings, and so I know that's going to come up sooner than later, and I didn't really have an answer for it. I appreciate it.
You got it. Hey, Jason, thank you so much for your encouragement, and may God bless your apologetics ministry.
Thank you, sir, and same.
Okay, and back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Gloria. Gloria is listening on KARI, Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Gloria.
Hi. Hi, Hank. I just want to thank you. I have your book, False Revival and the Apocalypse Code, and I used to be involved in the false revival and everything, and I'm just really thankful that your book brought me out of it, and I didn't realize all those people that I trusted came out of that.
Mm.
But what I wanted to ask you is I watch Channel 7 in Victoria, Pat Robertson, and I don't know what I can trust out of his program, so I thought I'd better call you and ask because people come on there and talk about healing, and the good Lord healed me 42 years ago. I wasn't a Christian, from alcohol, and I cried out to him, and he took my alcohol desire away, and then I started going to church later on, and I've been listening to you off and on for quite a few years.
Well, bless the Lord. We are so grateful that
yes.
He healed you and set you free, and that you're a testimony to His grace. Let me say a couple of things. First of all, Pat Robertson has done a lot of good.
Pardon?
Pat Robertson has done a lot of good over the years.
A lot of good.
When you watch his broadcast, you get a muddy mixture of truth mixed with error.
Muddy vision?
A muddy mixture. Of truth
muddy
and
mixture.
Error.
My phone went down for some reason.
Yeah.
Muddy mixture.
Yeah, of truth and error.
Okay,
sometimes
what
you have
about.
Is truth, and sometimes you have error. You have a lot of false teachers that appear on his platform, the Christian Broadcasting Network. And quite frankly, I'm not particularly happy about his way of going on television and, you know, saying, as it were, there's a lady out there in television land with a red dress on right now, and God is healing your back. And then claiming that's a word of knowledge from the Lord. First of all, it's a prostitution of what the biblical concept of a word of knowledge is. And then he also has done some rather unbelievable things as a Christian Zionist. For example, when Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon began dismantling Israeli settlements in Gaza as a step towards peace, Pat Robertson savagely denounced.
I read that in one of your books that you gave me, and I didn't really understand it either.
Well, and the reason is because his view as a Christian Zionist is that Jerusalem and Israel, in fact, a landmass that's a lot larger than the present Israel. So it's not only West Bank and Gaza and Golan Heights and so forth that he has in mind, but a mass of land at least 30 times as large. He believes that this is something that belongs to Israel, and that when Israel occupies that land and takes control of that land again, then the rapture will take place. So the Jews will be herded into that land, and two-thirds of them will die and will be raptured. No, it's a misunderstanding of the biblical text, because one of the things we have to understand is that what ultimately happens in Scripture is there's a progression, which is to say that there are types and shadows in the Old Testament fulfilled in the New Testament. And when the fulfillment comes, it is tantamount to trampling on the sacred blood of Jesus Christ to go back to the types and shadows. And unfortunately, there are...
about the sacred blood, sir?
May pardon?
What was that you said about the tantamount about the sacred blood?
Yeah, what I'm saying is that according to the book of Hebrews...
Yes.
When the substance has come, or when Jesus Christ has come,
yes.
to go back to Old Testament types and shadows that pointed to him is a sacrilege. It is as though you are saying that Christ never really came in the first place. And again, I've laid this out in a lot of detail in the Apocalypse Code, and we're talking about this at the beginning of the broadcast. The Apocalypse Code is now available for MP3 download. It's also available on MP3 disc. In fact, I was listening to it in the car on the way to the office today, and it is an absolute sensational production in all ways. It was produced by our own Dan Record. It has an approximate running time of 10 hours and 32 minutes, and it has original theme music, also performed and composed by Daniel Record. And so if you don't have this product, you want to get this product, you can download it at equip.org on the World Wide Web. You can order the discs of the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can see them on the web. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, you can talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000. And the letter is CRI. As promised, I'm going to stay right here for the next hour, continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and I will record that, and then we'll play my answers to your questions on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Could be as early as tomorrow. Don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but stick around. If you're hanging on, we'll get to your questions. You can also call in over the next hour. I'll try to get to your questions as well. So the number to dial for the next hour is 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. And do remember, Has God Spoken All This Month, for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. It is 3 years in the making. It's memorable, and it will equip you to demonstrate that what you've given your life to is the real McCoy. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time right here with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Before we leave the air, write down this number, 888-7000-CRI. That's CRI's resource line. Number again is 888-7000-CRI. Another way to go is to visit our website. Here's the address. It's equip.org. There, you'll find books, videos, DVDs, and commentaries on a multitude of topics. It's all available from one website, www.equip.org. And of course, you're welcome to write to us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Hank Hanegraaff's cover article reveals the key to unlocking messianic prophecy. A common objection to Christianity is that the New Testament takes Old Testament prophecies out of context in applying them to Jesus Christ. The answer lies squarely in understanding the role of typological prophecy in the Bible. Douglas Grotheis's summary critique of Rob Bell's controversial book Love Wins exposes the inconsistencies of Bell's ideas and his misinterpretation of Scripture in a way that is direct yet winsome. Other topics include a review of Todd Burpo's book Heaven is for Real, What is the Unpardonable Sin, the insightful Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions, such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition